Hi, welcome to the Theme Park Trader Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Dan.
Hello.
This week we are joined by the Epcot Queen. Yes, Her Royal Highness is joining us on the show. We talk all things Epcot, obviously. Obviously we're going to talk about Epcot. And we also talk about some of the rumours that are happening around Epcot at the minute. Favourite attractions, not just in Epcot, but also Walt Disney World. A bit about Universal as well. Believe it or not, she just purchased an annual pass to Universal. So lots talked about in this episode. We're recording this intro after we've already recorded, so I know that you're going to enjoy it because we enjoyed it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us, and when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic.
Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Okay, so this week we are joined on the podcast by the Epcot Queen. Welcome to the show.
I am so happy to be here. Hi, everyone.
And it's fit Dan, you didn't say hi.
Oh, hi.
Just sitting there.
I was like mid-sip as well.
You know what? Are you drinking tea?
I'm drinking water.
Okay. Because it sounded like you were like drinking something.
Okay.
It caught you at the worst time.
Did it sound like tea, did it?
Yeah, well, I know you drink tea, so. This time of night.
I drink
as well.
Tea too. I was actually talking to Ryan before this. I love tea. I really want to try coffee, but I'm not the coffee person. But I love tea, but cold tea over hot tea.
Okay, I'm not really a coffee person. But then, to be fair, I'm not much of a tea person. I only drink I don't drink very often, really. But
just drink water.
Yeah,
pretty much. My problem was right. So I didn't drink coffee at all, and then I started work, and it took me like full time, like maybe like 10 years ago, maybe I don't know, mm-hmm. 28 now.
Must be
about that, yeah. And it took me about 6 months, and then someone introduced me to this magical thing that keeps you awake during the day.
Oh my gosh.
And then that was it.
And now he's addicted.
Yeah. Literally, if I don't have a coffee, I get a headache.
Oh no, that's not good. No. I've had iced coffee like twice. I just can't get over like the coffee brew taste. Like it's just really gross to me.
It's definitely one of those things that you either like kind of have to have to function, or you don't like.
Yeah.
And Dan will tell you from our trip last year, the pumpkin spice latte season.
Oh my god!
I just turned unbelievably basic for like.
Oh my minutes. God! You sound like every single basic American right now.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I've personally never had it, but I mean, whatever floats your boat. I don't like pumpkin flavored things.
Well, if you see me at Epcot, so I arrive like in October, which is like perfect for it. I'll either be drinking a pumpkin spice latte, or I'll be at the Food and Wine Festival drinking or eating.
Oh my gosh. Ah, festivals at Epcot, am I right? They're just so great.
Oh, they're amazing. And we will get to those, definitely.
Yeah. But
the first thing is your name, obviously, the Epcot Queen.
Yeah.
How long have you been on Twitter for?
The Epcot Queen Twitter account I have right now,
yeah,
that was actually my personal Twitter account from like 2 years ago. So I joined Twitter in 2016 on the Epcot Queen account, but it was just obviously like a regular personal Twitter account. So I'd have like 5 of my friends following, and that's pretty much it. I wouldn't like tweet at anyone. I would just retweet stuff. And then I would say about in February or January, I transformed my personal Twitter into a Diz Twitter account. So I just made it like Steph Disney. Like, yeah, it's so basic, but, and then like around April or March, late February, someone from Twitter actually suggested that I should make my name Epcot Queen on Twitter. And in my head, I'm like, that's like a really cute name. But like, at the same time, I don't want to sound like stuck up or anything. But he's like, you should just do it. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I'll name myself Epcot Queen. And from there, I guess I'm just, that's my name pretty much, like Epcot Queen. People refer to me as Queen. And it's just like, I feel so honored. But at the same time, I feel like I'm not worthy enough to be called Queen. But yeah, I would say my Diz Twitter, I've been on Diz Twitter at least for like 5-6 months. So
yeah, I think the first tweet that I saw, and it's not as weird as it sounds, because it's like your pinned tweet, right? The one where that person slaps the phone at
you. Oh my gosh. When I saw that, I was like, I have to caption this. That was the first thing I noticed in that video, was that that guy was like, with all those people running to Space Mountain, I'm like, did you guys notice that that guy just like smacked her phone or her ears out of her hand? It was like, no, you need to get to the back of the line.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I know.
I think that from that tweet, I was like, okay, yep, follow. because it was hilarious.
It is. I was just like, that's like so iconic. And I love the Diz. So I retweeted it from the Diz, and I'm just like, shout out to that guy. And it got like 5,000 likes. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what did I do? I know.
If only you could like bottle that formula, right? And just do that every single time.
I know, right?
So the name came from one of your friends. Just decided, yep, that's what I'm going to kind of call myself on Twitter now.
Yeah. His name's actually Monroe Lime on Twitter. I know a few people follow him.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking one night, and he's like, you should name your Twitter account Epcot Queen. I'm like, I should, right? And so I did it. I think that was, like, late February, so, yeah, I got it from him.
Nice. So, why Epcot? I mean, like, everyone listening right now knows that I'm quite a big Epcot fan. So, I mean, I might be downplaying that a little bit. Dan is
quite that's news to me.
Yeah. Dan is sick of me talking about Epcot all the time.
Oh my gosh, you should hear my friends and family. That's literally all I talk about is Epcot. Like, they're like, you do realize there's 3 other parks, right? I'm like, yeah, but Epcot.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on that. And I think in terms of Epcot knowledge, Dan and I were both worried that you might trump me by quite a distance.
Well,
yeah, I think Ryan's got his work cut out.
Yeah. So why Epcot? What about Epcot kind of do you relate to?
So I've been going to Disney since like I was 4. I used to live in New York, but I moved here when I was 5. So we went on our first trip before I moved here, but afterwards we've been going like every single year. And I don't know why, but I just have so many like vivid memories from specifically Epcot, like not so much other parks, just specifically Epcot. And I love everything Epcot Center stood for, like from imagination and transportation to human achievements. It was just like no other Disney park. Like it was Disney, but it wasn't like the Disney that we know today. And I just always went to that park. Like when I would plan out all my trips, I'd be like, we have to go to Epcot like 4 times out of the week that we're there. Like even if it's all day, we have to go. And just ever since I've been going every year, it's just, I always draw to Epcot. Like it's, like I said, it's Disney, but it's not like, you know, like Magic Kingdom Disney. It's just so much more educational, but it's fun at the same time. Like Spaceship Earth is such a prime example, because like how I look at it is, if you're going on a field trip, like imagine you're in elementary school again, if you're going to a field trip, where would you rather go? To a museum or a ride that pretty much is a museum that showcases all these different types of educational things while being on a ride and it being interactive with the screens and everything? So Epcot, has always been my favorite park. It's always drawn me in, and it's just has a special place in my heart. And ever since I got involved with learning about the history about it, it just makes it even more special to me.
I mean, that is a great answer. And actually, like, I relate to some of that, actually, because I first went to Disney World. Well, the first trip that I have a memory of, at least, is when I was three. And my memory isn't of Epcot, but it's me sitting in Main Street with a Nesquik chocolate milk. But when they sold them in cartons.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking like probably like 94, maybe. So that was my first memory. But ever since then, all I remember is being absolutely blown away by Spaceship Earth, walking into the Epcot Center. And I've always been like a techie kid, a nerd, mm-hmm. I suppose, ever since I was a kid. And the Epcot Center is just, it just captivates all of that in me. It's got technology, it's got cool stuff going on. It's educational, as you said. Like, Spaceship Earth, Living with the Land are two of the best Disney attractions yes. in Disney World still to this day.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. They're just, Spaceship Earth and Living with the Land are just like Epcot Center to me. It screams Epcot Center to me because it's just so educational, but at the same time, it's like so much more fun. Like, you're on an actual ride and you're learning at the same time. Like, what more could you possibly ask for?
Yeah, and are you really at Epcot until you say at exactly the same time as the narrator, and then we're truly me, living with the land.
Yes, but my question for you two is, which would you rather go on, Spaceship Earth or Living with the Land, if you had to choose between those two?
Oh my god, that is so difficult.
Personally,
yeah, go.
I'm going to say Spaceship Earth, just because I just love everything about it, from the music to the narration to everything about it. I would choose Spaceship Earth over Living with the Land.
I think I would have to agree with you, because Spaceship Earth, as I said, like, I remember being really small and looking up and being like, oh my god, what is this amazing thing? And even now, when I walk into the park, it's just like, okay, I know I'm not going to go on it right now because I need to get over to Frozen Ever After, otherwise I'm never going to be able to ride it, or I need to go and do Test Track, but I'm coming back for you later this afternoon, Spaceship Earth, don't worry. And yeah, I think everything about that attraction is Epcot, so I think it's really difficult, but Spaceship Earth for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is a difficult choice. I would probably say at this point in time, I'd probably go with Living the Land.
Oh, wow.
It's just super chilled and, you know, educational, and, you know, going through the greenhouse is just lovely. I mean, Spaceship Earth is an amazing ride, but I think Living the Land is almost like not a newfound favorite for me, but, you know, I don't remember going on it for when I was quite young. So it's only in recent years that I've kind of like really loved it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Have you guys ever eaten at Garden Grill?
I haven't either.
It is so good. I've always wanted to try it, and a few weeks ago we actually went with some friends, and oh my gosh, it was delicious. It was so fresh, and it's all you can eat, so like, it just keeps coming out if you request it, and you get to meet the characters and you get to go around Living with the Land. I would highly suggest it. I've always wanted to try it for breakfast, but lunch was really, really good.
That's good to hear, because I've thought about doing it. Maybe I've done it as a kid, but I don't remember it if I did, so I can't say that I did. But I've always wanted to do it. My problem is, whenever I go, so I tend to go to Disney World once a year, because obviously it's quite a distance for us. And when I'm at Epcot, it's always the Food and Wine Festival, which poses one big problem in terms of trying to get restaurants in. And then we also have the other big problem, which is La Cellia, which is my favourite restaurant in Disney World.
I've actually never been.
Oh, you have to go. Oh, well, unless you're vegetarian.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not vegetarian. I just don't like steak, honestly. A lot of people might come for me for that, but I don't like steak.
That's interesting, because Donna, it's weird saying it now, my wife. we've only been married like 3 weeks, so that's why it's weird.
Oh, congrats again.
So she doesn't like steak, but she loves the celery. It's weird. Also, if you don't like steak, I would highly suggest going in, getting the pretzel bread to start, and maybe get the dessert.
Oh my gosh, I love pretzels. Like the soft, not like the hard pretzels, but the soft pretzels. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite Disney snack in general. But carry on, sorry.
So pretzel bread, it will blow you away.
Yes, that sounds awesome.
So you don't have to like spend $50 on a steak. You could just get a appetizer and a dessert.
Just go for the bread.
And the bread is free. Like you can ask for as much as that as you want.
Oh wow.
I usually do. In fact, last time I was there with Dan, actually, the waiter didn't come back until like we'd finished our mains, but I wanted more pretzel bread because it's amazing. So I actually got a side of pretzel bread alongside my dessert, which is like the weirdest thing.
I think we had a sticky so trend, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Yum, that sounds really good.
So I have a question. Sure. I think it applies for to all of us. If you could replace Dame Judi Dench with another British, it's got to be British, another British actor, who would it be?
Oh my gosh, I have not thought about this because I personally love Dame Judi Dench. I think she's a great narrator. If anything, I want the old Jeremy Irons to come back.
You know what? That one, yeah. Amazing.
Yes, I actually haven't heard it up until like a few months ago, believe it or not, but it just sounds like so magical. And Dreamfinder guy from Twitter actually was like, you need to listen to this. I'm like, you know what? I probably should, because I haven't like listened to the whole thing, but it just sounds like so magical. But going back to your question, I think I wouldn't change it. I think Dame Judi Dench should be the narrator, maybe update it, but I mean, I love her, so.
She is good. She is good. Dan, yeah. do you have a preference?
I mean, she is a very good choice for it. I think it would be hilarious if somebody like Sean Connery did it.
Oh, no.
I mean, nobody would have a clue what he was saying.
No, no.
But it would be funny.
Now we're going to the romance. That was a bad Sean Connery. I would probably go for Stephen Fry.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
You see, I don't really know a lot of British actors and actresses, so this I don't really have a say in, but I'm sure the people you're selecting are great.
After we've recorded, if you search for Stephen Fry, like you can't get more British than him.
The only British person I could think of right now is James Corden.
Oh no, we definitely don't.
Okay,
him.
Yeah.
No.
No? No.
There's a reason okay. We got rid of him and sent him over to the States.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, Patrick Stewart would be another good shout as well, wouldn't he?
Oh, that'd be good, yeah. That would be great, actually. Just Picard. It fits perfectly, doesn't it?
It does. I'm trying to think of like some actresses but Dame Judi Dench is probably the best one, isn't she, really?
Mm-hmm.
You could have Emily Blunt.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about her. She is such a good actress.
Yeah.
And she's married to one of my celebrity crushes, John Krasinski. He's hot.
To be fair, I mean, if I was into guys, he'd be one that I was into.
Have you seen the horror movie A Quiet Place?
No, it's on my list. I still not got around to seeing it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm not a movie person, but that movie was so good. And I'm not just saying that because John Krasinski was in it, but it is so good. You have to see it. There's like a total of like two sentences said in the movie, like throughout the whole duration. Like it's just silence. Like it is so good.
I'm gonna have to watch it. I'll move it up the list.
Is Emily Blunt in that one as well?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I thought that was the one.
It's a really good movie.
Okay, but Judi Dench is tough to replace, and I hope I mean, obviously, Spaceship Earth is rumoured to be getting a refurb.
Oh, gosh.
Let's use that word carefully.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last time I went on it, it's shut quite a bit. There's, like, leaks and things going wrong. I think it does need a bit of a refurb. I just hope that they keep the setting and the feel of the attraction the same.
Yeah. From quote-unquote sources, I've heard that they're going to keep all the scenes up until the industrial scene, and then they're going to replace the rest. But it really does need a refurbishment, because every time I've been on it, the AC is either really low or it's not working. And you know how that goes on a hot Florida day.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed with the track and the cars, they are so, like, ugh. Like, every single time you go over a bump, like, the whole car shakes, and it needs a better track. And I think that's what they're going to redo, hopefully. But yeah, it does. And I would love for them to bring back Tomorrow's Child, but I don't think that'll happen. So,
yeah,
but I love that song. Yeah.
I think I was gutted when they took away the Mission Space song. The one after you finished the ride.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible and cheesy, but I would just sing it on the way out anyway.
Well,
that ride is, I mean, last time I went on that ride, I was the only person on it.
Really?
Like, the whole, not just my pod, they waited for two other people to join me. So there was three people on the entire ride.
Wow. You're lucky. I've always wanted to do that.
I've literally got a picture of me. I'm like on the far left, and there's an empty room. There's like no one in there at all.
Because I'm a
sushi to ride.
Yeah. Yes, I was.
Do you like Spaceship Earth? I would hope so.
Oh, no, you're Mission Space, aren't you? You're talking about.
Yeah, Mission Space, sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Spaceship Earth. But back to Spaceship Earth. On the descent, after you see the star field with all the blue lights hanging down, you know, I actually posted this on my Twitter. But if you look right above you, there's actually an old prop from, I don't remember which version, but it's the scene where she is sitting in the space station, like right above you. If you look up, I posted on my Twitter. I unfortunately put my flash on because I was, every single time I've ridden that, I've always wanted to take a picture, but this was my last time going until my pass is blocked out for the summer. So I took a picture of it, and it is massive. So if you're ever on Spaceship Earth, after, when you're going down the descent, after the star field of the blue lights, if you look up, you'll see a huge space station, and it's just blacked out. Like, you can still see it barely, but I have a picture on my Twitter if you're curious.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I remember when that whole section looked. It was so much brighter, wasn't it? They just draw in your focus to the screens, which I think they were great when it first opened again, but it's a bit dated now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And half the time, some of the screens don't even work.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know you've been on Spaceship Earth too many times when you just think, oh, screw it, I'll just go for a language I've never used before.
Oh, my gosh. I did that once on accident. I was sitting down and my knee pressed the screen and I didn't know it. And I had to listen to it in Japanese the whole time.
Oh, no.
I was so miserable.
The worst part of living in the UK is that it's so difficult to actually, because we're like right on the south of the UK. So literally I'm like 2 minutes from the beach. So when you press it, like 99% of the time, I'm in the sea, like, because my fingers are too fat, you know, all the screen's too small. And I was like, and you just see every time you go through and you see your faces and they just go straight into the English channel and you're like, brilliant.
Oh my gosh. That's pretty funny. I actually have a question for the both of you. So besides the UK pavilion, obviously, what is your favorite pavilion, country and world showcase?
I will add in saying that the UK pavilion is my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah. The UK does not look like that.
No?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I've never been to somewhere in the UK that looks like that. I don't know if Dan has. I mean, there's a couple of villages, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe Arundel is kind of close.
Yeah, that's not too far from us.
Maybe.
But it's I guess it's what everyone would imagine the UK would look like.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe 500 years ago. I would say my favourite... This is a really difficult question. Canada is close, but that's only because of Facelia. Like, I feel like if I awarded Canada that, I'd be doing the other countries a disservice.
But then it's got O Canada as well.
It has.
Oh, I love O Canada.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, I am going to go with Mexico.
Interesting.
Okay.
Not because I don't think the Three Caballeros is an amazing ride, like it's cool, but the whole setting of that land, like ancient Mexico, you go inside, obviously you've got the restaurant as well. I think in terms of theming, Mexico's beats everyone else's.
Yeah, I could agree with that. My personal favorite is between Mexico and Canada. I just, like, I didn't realize how, like, far down or far back the actual Canada Pavilion goes. Like, I just thought it was, like, the building and all that, but, like, wow. But theming-wise, I would definitely say Mexico as well.
But Canada's great. I mean, the building that the Celia is in is just amazing. Like, it's so cool. Like, you just, obviously, it's the massive one as soon as you see walk into Canada. And the theming of that restaurant. I'm going to stop talking about the Celia. Dan, I'm going to let you answer.
So mine would probably be between France and Canada. Probably because, you know, Canada, obviously, it's got O Canada, which is brilliant, and La Celia, which is a good restaurant. But the French Pavilion, I do like, even though Ryan hates it, I do like the impressions of France. And I like the patisserie place that they got there. And they're going to get Ratatouille. Yeah. So it will Ratatouille arrives, it will probably definitely be the French Pavilion.
I feel like no one really talks about Ratatouille that much. Like, it's not even in the news that much either. Mm. I cannot wait for it. It's going to be, like, great. I love the trackless ride system and everything.
I mean, Dan and I, we've both been on it because obviously it's in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's such a good ride.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's going to work perfectly in France as well.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Like, I've never been on... Well, I was going to say I've never been on a trackless ride, but that would be a lie because I've been on Great Movie Ride, which... don't even get me started about that, but I'm really excited. I'm really excited for Ratatouille. It's a great addition to World Showcase.
Have you not been on the terrible penguin ride in SeaWorld?
No, I've never been to SeaWorld, actually. Okay. And I don't really care to go. I would go, honestly, just to ride Mako.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Looks a lot of fun.
Like, SeaWorld used to be, like, a park that I would go to every year. But I would say I go to it maybe once every 5 or 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I would only go for Mako. Do they still have that, this is at SeaWorld, hopefully, the one where you, like, lay down flat on your stomach?
Manta, yeah.
Manta, yeah, I would love to go on that. I love Thrill.
Yeah, that one... The ones where you lie down, they really do scare me more than anything else.
I would be scared too.
Just because you can see the floor like the whole way. You're just like,
oh my god. Speaking of Thrill, I actually just bought a Universal annual pass last week, and I gotta say, The Mummy and Rip Ride Rocket, so much fun. Have you guys been to Universal?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, The Mummy is one of Dan's favorite rides.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
I went there that day just expecting to look at City Walk, but I came out with an annual pass instead. And I know Universal's the dark side, but I still had a lot of fun. And the part that got me on The Mummy was when you're like halfway over and she's like, "We hope you enjoyed your ride." I'm like, that was it? Like, are you serious? But then it kept going and it was so much fun. I went on it 3 times.
Your souls are mine.
I mean, that is a great first impression from Universal to get you to, you know, get you to walk out with an annual pass after just one day.
My first ride as a Universal pass holder was Gringotts. I waited about 40 minutes for it. I thought it was okay. It wasn't like amazing, but it was good. So,
do you like Harry Potter?
I don't. I've never watched Harry Potter, and I've watched Star Wars like 2 episodes twice. I'm not into it. It's just too confusing for me. What? Oh my gosh, that's not good.
No, I mean, I don't necessarily love the Harry Potter films. The books are great. Some of the films are okay, but Star Wars is definitely one of. I'm literally looking at about 6 or 7 bits of Star Wars merchandise right now.
Oh my gosh! Like, don't get me wrong, Galaxy's Edge is going to be amazing, but I personally just can't get into it. It's just too many characters, and I'm not a movie person. But Galaxy's Edge is going to be insane, like theming wise and crowd wise. But it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to check it out. But not opening day though.
The crowds are going to be insane.
Oh, it's not related to Epcot, but Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios, I am scared for that park because I don't think it'll be able to handle all those crowds. The park is so tiny. And with that, it's just going to create a mess, honestly.
Yeah,
it definitely is. I agree.
I mean, I'm lucky in a way because I'm staying on property and they're running extra magic hours at Hollywood Studios from like 6 a.m. every day until November the 2nd.
Wow.
So, like, I arrive on the 27th of October, I think. So we're going to do a couple of 6 a.m. starts just to try and, like, do Galaxy's Edge and get it done.
Have fun with that. Yeah. I hope the best for you.
Yeah, we're going to be pretty tired.
What hotel are you staying at?
Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, wow. Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've always wanted to stay there. I actually just resort hopped the other day. I went to Wilderness Lodge. It was so beautiful.
See, that's one of the only resorts I've never been to, actually.
Really? Yeah. They have, like, a creek inside of the lobby. It was so nice.
I might have to jump on a bus and go there this year.
But Animal Kingdom Lodge, wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to stay there before, and it's such an amazing hotel, and it. But you know, I am like selling one of my kidneys to go there this year because like we're
isn't
there
for, that everyone who goes to Disney?
Yeah, well, we're there for 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh, you're staying for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're so lucky, but like, wow, that's like 2 kidneys.
Yeah, I'm just going to be walking in on, like, several drips. Just, I'm having a great time.
You'll enjoy it. Live your best vacation ever.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're planning on doing. We've got Mickey. So we've got Mickey's Not So Scary booked. We've got Mickey's Very Merry Christmas booked.
Oh,
Halloween
my God.
Halloween Nights at Universal.
I want to go so bad.
I went last, Dan and I went last year for the first time, and it was awesome.
It was. It was so good.
I'm so scared of those types of things, but the theming is awesome.
Oh, so are we. Like, we recorded the audio from the houses, and you can just hear me basically almost cry with fear.
Oh my gosh, me.
But it was great. It was really cool. So we're doing that as well. Behind the scenes, back to Epcot.
Oh, I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, we're going to do that. I've never done that before, so we're looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, it's not even that expensive, too. It's only, like, what, $25?
Yeah, so cheap.
Yeah, I was actually really close to doing the Undiscovered Future World Tour, the 4-hour walking tour of Future World, but, I mean, not trying to brag or anything, but I do pretty much know everything that they're going to talk about, so.
Yeah, and then they're going to be like, yeah, so that's this, that's gone soon, that's this, yeah, that's going, that's this, yeah. That's already closed, so we can't talk about that.
That about sums it up.
Yeah. It's, well, so what do you think about, I mean, obviously D23 is coming up.
Oh boy.
And I think for Epcot fans, I think you and I are probably going to be watching it on the edge of our seats.
Yeah. So August 25th is the parks panel, and their main title for it is pretty much Epcot. Like, yeah. It's going to be insane, and I'm very, very, very scared, but I'm just hoping and praying that something good comes out of it. Like they talked about, I don't know if you read this, but on the Disney Parks blog, they talked about, like, the original pavilion logos coming back with, like, a little twist to them.
Yeah.
But that got me a little excited. I just really hope that nothing too extreme happens or is announced, but I'm definitely going to be looking forward to that. it'll be intense for sure.
Oh, 100%. You know what? I think we should definitely do another podcast after that panel.
Oh, yes.
Because we're either going to be in great moods or terrible moods. I think the return, the thing is, what worries me is when they go, Illuminations is going, which is terrible, but also like, okay, fair enough. What's replacing it isn't great, but, well, what it looks like is replacing it doesn't seem great. But when they go, okay, the Pavilion logos are coming back, and you're thinking, okay, but that's quite a small thing just to try and please some Epcot fans. What are you actually going to be doing?
Yeah, there's always something behind it that's not so good.
Yeah.
But I'm sad to see Illuminations go. I've only seen it like a total like 5 times in my life, because when I was younger, I didn't get it. I thought it was stupid. But now that I actually have seen it, it's just a beautiful message. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Epcot Forever. Like, I'm so excited. I just hope it's like the right dedication and memorial pretty much to Epcot Center.
Yeah, that's the worry for me as well, as it's almost sounding like it's going to be like Epcot's, the original Epcot's last hurrah.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's saying it's practically going to be a funeral, and I 100% agree.
Yeah. I'm there when just after they start that, so I'm looking forward to seeing Epcot Forever, but I am sad that I'm never going to see Illuminations again.
Yeah, I love We Go On. I mean, like, who doesn't? That song is such a staple song of Epcot. And from what I've heard for Epcot Forever, I don't know if you guys have seen the preview for it on YouTube and everything, but they talk about, they play Listen to the Land. At the last Destination D event, Bob Chapek said they're going to have Tomorrow's Child and Horizons and everything. So I'm pretty excited. It sucks that I'm not going to be able to see it opening day, but I'm going to see it like a few days later. So it's all good.
You still get to see it before us.
Yeah, just by a little bit.
Yeah. Well, a lot for Dan. Dan, I don't think you'll ever see it.
Well, I wonder whether they're going to keep both shows once the... Because kind of keep this one, as keep Epcot Forever as like a sort of nostalgic thing for the fans, and then have the main event. Because other parks do multiple shows, so
that is true.
It would not surprise me if they kept both.
I just hope that if they do come out with Epcot Forever merchandise, it's so much better than the Illuminations merchandise. They did such a bad job. Like, maybe you guys like it, but I think it's just not, like, I don't know. It doesn't click with me.
See, I wanted some of it, but only because it's Illuminations. It's not like I loved it. I was just like, I really want it because I wanted to see it again.
Yeah, I would totally buy the shirt if I was there, but besides that, I just don't like the design of it. It's too cartoonish. Like, it doesn't scream like Epcot. It just screams like another show that's ending.
Yeah, 100%. I just really hope that not too many characters start coming into the park with the new show. And it's looking that way. But we don't need another Happily Ever After. It's just not needed.
No, it's not. I mean, Happily Ever After is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But like I was saying earlier, Epcot is Disney, but it's not like Magic Kingdom Disney. It's meant to be more educational and more different. But I don't know. I just want Epcot Forever to be permanent. But that can't happen, so.
It would be nice. I'm just pleased I get to see it.
Yeah.
So, let's go on to festivals.
All right, festivals it is.
Epcot is pretty much festival season all year round now.
Mm-hmm. Like someone says on Twitter, Diet Epcot is the best Epcot. Because when there's no festivals, that place is like a ghost town. And that's the best time to enjoy Epcot.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Festival-wise, my favorite festival, I really liked Festival of the Arts. It's kind of like a mini festival. I don't see it as like this huge grand thing like Food and Wine. But I would probably have to say Flower and Garden because of all the flowers. And it's just beautiful. But Food and Wine is a close second, maybe.
Yeah, I love Flower and Garden because I haven't been for Festival of the Arts. because it's January, February, isn't it? And I don't tend to go there at that time of year. I think last year, it was just weekends, wasn't it? And then this year, they extended it.
Really? It was just weekends last year?
I'm sure it was, yeah. I think it was select weekends.
Wow, I did not know that. That's odd.
And then, but I would say my favourite is Food and Wine and then Flower and Garden. But because we usually go for like 2 weeks is what we usually go for. Mm-hmm. And I would never go to the Food and Wine Festival on a weekend.
Yeah, it's rough.
I try, well, I say never, I try and avoid it where I can.
Yeah, I've only been to the Food and Wine because I got my annual pass last year, last October, because, you know, I finally turned 18, I got a job, so I got to pay for my own pass. Before then, me and my family would just go for a week, like, every year, even though I only live, like, an hour-ish away. But once I got my, and like I said, when we go for a week, we would go in the middle of the summer, which I don't know why, but I would never get to go to the festivals. So when I went to Food and Wine for my first time as a pass holder and my first time ever in October, it was very busy, but it was just so overwhelming. And I got to go in Wonders of Life for my first time, which was awesome. And I got my Chef Mickey pass holder magnet. But yeah, Food and Wine and Flower and Garden are definitely the two major ones. But out of those two, I'd probably have to pick Flower and Garden.
I think that's fair. And you know what? I think before I turned 21, it probably would have been Flower and Garden. And then... Mm-hmm. And then when, because obviously over here, we can drink at 18.
Yeah, legally. Can't hear.
No, I know, they're really strict on that. But I think every, you know, I don't drink, Dan might disagree, but I don't drink excessively. But obviously I'm on vacation.
And yeah.
You get to try so many different, you know, not just alcoholic, there's some great non-alcoholic drinks there as well. But there's so many options to choose from. And I just love walking around World Showcase and taking in the atmosphere. But I remember the queues last year. I think it was China was one of the worst. And I must have been in a queue for like 15 minutes. And it was hot, like super hot. And I just walked, Dan was over in the, like standing in the shade, I think. And I walked over to him with, I don't know what it's like, shrimp noodles or something. And I'm literally just like sweating, like basically into my food. And eating,
oh my gosh.
And eating warm food. And it's just like, was that worth it? I'm not sure.
The thing with me is, if you haven't been able to tell already, I am more of a Future World girl. I don't really go in a World Showcase. My main reason is because it's too hot.
Yeah.
It's way too crowded. It's too hot. And there's not like a lot of air conditioned places, except like if you go into a pavilion or not. But then again, those are busy too, except in Future World, there's many places that you can hang out in and get some AC, but those won't be around any longer. So, but yeah, I usually never go in a World Showcase unless I go on a weekday because there's not as many people, or when it's less hot out.
Yeah, the thing is for us, like, it doesn't matter what time of year we go, it's hot for us.
Yeah. I wish I wasn't used to it, but I am.
Yeah.
It's just so brutal.
Yeah, and you're right, you know, World Showcase is, if it's a hot day, like, it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I mean, Mexico is a great pavilion.
It is.
Lots of AC in there.
Grand Fiesta is a great addition to it. I don't know if this Coco overlay thing is real or not, but overall, it's, like, such a relaxing boat ride. It's not supposed to be some amazing boat ride. It's just relaxing, and it somewhat helps the crowds, not really, because if it's a long line, then it takes up most of the room in the pavilion. But it's a great ride. It's anyone can go on it. So,
yeah, I agree. You know what? I think the Coco rumor first came around, well, it must be like two, three years ago now when Coco first came out. And it's like, have they left it? Is it too late now? Like, I know Coco's still kind of popular, but unless they're making a sequel, it kind of feels... Like with Frozen, obviously Frozen 2 is in the works, and presumably we're going to get Frozen 3 as well, because, I mean, why would they not just continue to make a ton of money from that franchise? Milk the cow, that's the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah.
Whereas Coco, like, how realistic is it that we're going to see another film? It fits much better than Grand Fiesta Tour, where only one of the characters is actually Mexican, but...
I've never actually seen Coco.
Oh, it's quite good.
I heard that it was, like, really emotional.
Yeah. But then I don't know if there's a Pixar film that I've seen where I haven't cried. Okay, there is. Oh. Cars. Any Cars film. I mean, really? Maybe I've cried because they were just those terrible.
Those are different kind of tears.
Have you guys seen Toy Story 4 yet?
No, not yet.
No, not yet.
I just saw it last night. It was good. I'm not going to say anything, but it was really good. It just didn't include the main characters a lot. It only focused on, like, three characters, four.
Yeah, I heard there's been a lot of people saying that some of their favorite characters weren't in it much.
No, like, Wheezy was not in there at all. Ham was in there, like, for, like, three sentences, as well as, like, Jesse and everyone. Like, I don't know. It was kind of weird not seeing them all together, but it was still a good movie.
I think we're going to try and see it in the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Another movie that made me hysterically cry was WALL-E. That's probably my favorite Pixar movie.
Such a good film.
It made me so emotional, and it just has, like, such a great message to it.
It really does, yeah. It's such a good film.
It's That's just like
favorite.
Yeah, it's just like, wake up and save the environment.
Yeah. And stop the likes of Amazon and Google, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
So let's talk about an attraction that I know you love its current state so much, and that is Journey to Imagination.
Well, Journey to Imagination, I like the current version, but, like, I don't at the same time. Yeah. Like, I would kill to have Dreamfinder back and everything. It's just, someone sent me an article a few weeks ago. I don't remember where it was from, but they were saying how there was going to be, like, it's a rumor, obviously, but they were going to make Figment trackless or something. But honestly, at this point, that ride needs so much help, and I could not see Epcot without Figment. That's, like, one of the most left pieces of Epcot Center. Like, Figment is pretty much Epcot, like, the mascot for Epcot. And I would literally, I don't know what I would do if Figment went away. I don't want to think about it, but that ride needs help. Like, it's so poorly made, and I obviously love going on it because I love Figment, but it just really needs help, like, badly.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Idle is not helping the situation at all.
No. Not at all.
You've got Judi Dench, really, like, who's up in the game for the Brits in Epcot, and then Eric Idle's just bringing it right back down.
Yeah, Nigel Channing is something else.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
And,
I agree, though, like, Figment is one of my favourite Disney characters. I have got so much Figment merch. I think I bought everything with Figment on it at the Food and Wine Festival. I've got the pop.
Yes, I actually just got one a few days ago.
Oh, did you? That's so cool, isn't it?
Yes, they're so cute.
I mean, that's kind of the reason why I'd be really surprised if they got rid of Figment, because the amount of Figment merch at Food and Wine last year is nuts. So,
and they always advertise Figment, they put him on the clothes, but his ride is horrible.
Yeah. Like, doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. And after you get off the ride, when you go into Imageworks, it's so, like, it's so, like, cheesy. Gives me carnival vibes. Like, it's just not good. I need to do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember having fun in Imageworks when I was a kid. But that was, I mean, like, that was a long time ago. And they haven't really changed it since then. And it just feels super dated.
Did you go into the current Imageworks, or did you go up to the ones upstairs?
Current.
Oh, okay. Have you ever been in the DVC lounge?
No, I haven't, I don't think.
Oh my gosh. I got to go up there last month. So beautiful. Like, it was so breathtaking, and it just felt so surreal to be up there. Like, it was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's just amazing. I only took, like, a picture or two just because I was, like, taking in everything, but you get a really great view of Spaceship Earth.
Oh, that's cool. I need to somehow figure out how to get in there.
Yeah, but it's a shame of what Figment the ride looks like. And I was actually just tweeted this last night. They need to bring back a Figment meet and greet, whether it's like temporary or seasonal or something. Like, they just have to. They turned his old meet and greet into like a Visa character spot or chase. I don't know, but I just wish they would bring it back. Like, do you know? I bet you that would have such long lines, honestly.
I mean, I'm not usually a person that enjoys meeting characters. Just because, you know, I've done it all, like when I was a kid and stuff. But there's probably a couple of exceptions to the rule. One would absolutely be Figment. Like, I would get in that line straight away. Stitch is another one. And Roger Rabbit would be another one.
Yeah.
And Oswald.
Yeah, I'm not really a character meet and greet person. I like meeting like Mickey and Minnie and all that. I personally could never meet a face character. I would just get like so shy, and I'm just like, what do I even say?
Oh yeah, it is very awkward. I did it earlier this year in Disneyland Paris because I was with a big group, and they were like, oh, we're meeting Rapunzel and Flynn, and I was like, okay, go have fun with that. And they were like, no, you're doing it as well. And like, you kind of like hug them and you're like, I know you're not Rapunzel, but
yeah,
I kind of have to pretend that you are, and you know that I know you're not, but you have to pretend that I think you are. And it's very weird.
That's the same way I feel with like Mickey and Minnie. Like, sometimes I forget like there's actual people in there. It's just the child in me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, Mickey Mouse. And then like I think about it, I'm like, that's crazy. That's like someone's job.
Yeah.
I would love that job.
Yeah. Oh man. The character I would want to be is Stitch 100% because he just basically gets to do whatever he wants. Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then I got to meet, Captain Marvel in Disneyland Paris. And that was a weird, again, face character.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was the only one who felt that way.
No.
But I guess. Yeah.
I mean, British people in general, I would say they don't like crowd interaction. We're not like, so when there's like a, I don't know, like, if, to give you an example, the Indiana Jones stunt show, where, I don't know if you've seen it.
I have.
Yeah. You know, where everyone's like, right, everyone get excited, yeah, and like everyone's cheering. And you could tell who the Brits are because they just sit there going, yes, this is nice, yes.
Oh my gosh. There's actually, like, to be honest with you, there's so many British people who come to Disney. Like, it's crazy. And they always stay for such long periods of time because you guys never get to come in the States a lot. But yeah, there's a lot of you.
Well, I also love, like, our tickets start at 7 nights.
Oh, like, really?
So we have like a 7 night, a 14 night, I should say day. So a 7 day, a 14 day, and a 21 day ticket.
I did not know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So this year I've got the 21 day pass.
And that's, oh my gosh.
That's all 6 parks. Like, I can go water to park? As many as I want in a day. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Have you ever been to the water parks?
Yeah.
What's your favorite water park?
Typhoon by a distance.
Yes, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Typhoon Lagoon is amazing, and their wave pool is awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the biggest reasons why it's... I don't know what it is about Blizzard Beach, but I always find that there's just not as much... I don't have as much fun there.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about you, Dan.
Yeah, I'd agree with Typhoon Lagoon. Have you tried, what's it called, Volcano Bay?
I have not. I really want to, though, like, really badly.
I went there, when was it? It wasn't this year. Must have been about 2 years ago now. I think it was just after it opened, not long after it opened. And they were still having teething problems, so it was a little bit, my opinion is a little bit sullied by the teething problems. But it was a good park. It was a good water park.
Did you have an electrifying time?
Oh my gosh!
I don't remember getting electrocuted, but maybe that's because
I would hope not.
And forgot, but
that story was crazy. I couldn't believe it.
I know, right? I would hope you wouldn't get electrocuted. Please be safe.
Yeah.
Just wear rubber shoes.
They've sorted out the problem.
So, are there any more Epcot questions or any questions that you have for us.
This isn't Epcot related, but what's your favorite ride in the whole resort?
Oh, that is really difficult. I would say, like, Flight of Passage is close, because when I went on it, I was just blown away. But I think it's going to have to be Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, that's a good one.
For me, again, Flight of Passage is way up there. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, incredible. But I'd probably go Toy Story Midway Mania.
Really?
Yeah. I got a real soft spot for that ride.
That's interesting. Mine is not at Epcot. It's actually Rock and Roller Coaster. Rock and Roller Coaster, from the theming to the thrill part of it, I love it so much. Tower of Terror is a very close second.
I mean, there's a lot of great rides in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, there is. It's just Hollywood Studios is kind of sad now.
It will never be quiet again.
Oh, man.
And what about, okay, what about favorite show, including nighttime shows?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. The thing is, I don't really watch that many shows. So I would have to say Festival of the Lion King, I really enjoyed at Animal Kingdom. I honestly don't know. That's a really hard one because I don't watch that many shows. So for right now, I'm going to say Festival of the Lion King.
A good choice, I would say. Ryan would not.
No.
Why?
I don't like... I don't know what it is. So there's parts of it I really like. Like the monkeys and the Timon song.
Yeah.
Cool. But then there's parts that I'd find quite boring and slow. Like, you know, Can You Feel the Love? Agree. All that. Yeah, I'm like,
but I just love everything.
Elton John, go away.
You know he doesn't sing that bit, right?
I know, like, but I hear it in my head.
Show. Oh, okay.
But I would say Fantasmic is mine.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking nighttime shows, I would say Happily Ever After is my favourite.
Nighttime show wise, I would have to say Happily Ever After too.
Oh, Fantasmic all the way.
Oh, Fantasmic. Okay. Fantasmic is great, but the scenes with the water jets and the projections, those are long, and I like actually dread it. Like, it's so boring. I'm sorry, but it's just so boring.
It's fine. Don't worry.
The soundtrack's awesome. Like, I love Fantasmic, but it needs update.
It does. Like, I have no time for the whole Pocahontas section whatsoever. It's just like, why are you digging? Why are you digging? And why do we care?
I know, right? I agree that I don't know. It just doesn't click for me.
It's like, we get it. You're changing the scene over. We don't need to see you dig. I do like the cannon, though, because it scares most people every single time.
Yeah.
That's probably my favourite part. Of course, other than when Mickey Mouse somehow manages to disappear from Steamboat Willie and reappear.
Oh, that's the best part.
The Disney magic.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, Epcot, still by far my favourite park. I spend probably, I don't know, in like a 3-week period, I guess we'd be at Epcot 60% of the time, maybe?
Yes. It's just, like I was mentioning earlier, Epcot is just so special. I feel like it has the most history out of all the parks. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. And it's just like, every day I learn something new about, like, Epcot Center or a specific pavilion or a specific attraction. It just keeps going. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I really do. I love the park, as listeners will know. You know, getting to talk about Epcot for a pretty much a whole hour is like the absolute dream episode for me. So, yeah, unless you have any more questions for us.
I don't think so. I always wanted, I wanted to know what your guys' favorite attraction was, so I got that, so.
Cool. Okay, well, we will definitely have to have a catch-up after D23, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think either way, I think two Epcot fans, I mean, Dan is an Epcot fan, but perhaps not quite as hardcore as we are.
No, but yeah, like, if hopefully there's good news that comes out of it, because I'm not trying to be all negative and stuff and being like, oh, it's going to suck, it's going to be this and all that. I want something good to come out of it. And even if it's just announcing more details for Ratatouille, that's fine by me. I just am really, really, really hoping that, you know, something good comes out of it.
The problem is Chapek has not got a good track record, has he?
Oh, no. Oh, that man makes me angry, but...
I think what we need is Bob Iger to go. I mean, he's done a lot of great stuff for the company, but he doesn't really care about the parks. We need him to go. We need someone, dare I say it, like Eisner, who actually loves the parks. And then for them to go, well, hold on a second, let's actually invest in kind of making these parks what they should be. And maybe stop increasing annual pass prices.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started.
That was so much, wasn't it?
Yes. And my upgrade, like to get a new or to renew my annual pass or upgrade in October, I was going to upgrade to the gold pass. But now I don't know if I'm going to do that or not because it's like $50 a month now. And they never include silver passes in anything. Like, it's so sad. Like, not even just photo pass. Like, the least you could do is give us photo pass. But it's really sad. And parking at the hotels for a moderate, it's going to be $20 a night. Like, come on.
That's nuts, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely insane. So, like, can you imagine? I don't drive, but can you imagine if I had a rental car and I was at Animal Kingdom Lodge for 3 weeks. It's insane.
Animal Kingdom Lodge is a deluxe, right?
Yeah, so it's like $25 now, I think.
So 25 times 21 days, right?
Yeah.
That's $525.
Yeah.
That's like as much as an annual pass.
It's crazy,
isn't it? A silver annual pass. It really bugs me. And they don't even include silver passes for VIP pass holder nights. Nothing. And they just came out with a deal too, from like June to like October or something. Pass holders can get like somewhat of a annual pass for the water parks, but it only lasts for like those 4 months. I was down to do it, but they don't include silver pass. It's only for gold and up, which really like bugs me.
Yeah, and then they didn't include gold passes in the Galaxy's Edge previews either. I mean, I know you don't really like Star Wars, but that was quite a surprise to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, honestly. And their quick service locations, like, for example, Electric Umbrella at Epcot, they charge like $14 for a burger that's, like, it's not good. And I know that's, like, for any theme park, they overcharge, but it really bugs me.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like... I mean, I prefer the land for quick service.
Sunshine Seasons.
Yeah, Sunshine Seasons is amazing.
It has a really great selection.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I love it. It's not like standard theme park food. It's like a real selection of different things that you could try that you probably wouldn't ordinarily have at a theme park.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But I will make a note. I'm going to have a chat to Donna after we recorded to see if we can get Garden Grill into the mix for our trip.
I'm telling you, you won't regret it. I'm a very picky eater, and I ate about everything that they gave. And they also have vegetarian options as well. It's so good.
Nice. But you have to make your way over to the cellar for an appetizer and a dessert.
maybe when we meet up, we can definitely do that.
Yes, let's do that.
I'm so down.
Any excuse for me to go to La Celia? Like, that's good by me. Even if at like worst case scenario, we go to the Canada stop in the Food and Wine Festival, and they have the cheddar cheese soup and the pretzel bread from La Celia in there.
I was going to try that last time, but the line was so long.
Yeah, so maybe at the very least we can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. If anything, thank you. I really am flattered, and I just can't thank you enough.
Oh, no, you're welcome. And we definitely, honestly, as soon as D23 hits and the Epcot news either makes us happy or sad, we've got to do another episode.
Yes, I'm so down. You know my Twitter. DM me. I swear, I will do it.
Yeah, that sounds good. And just so everyone listening knows to follow you on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
It's at the Epcot Queen. So Epcot Queen with a the in front.
Nice. So once again, thank you very much for the Epcot Queen for joining us on the show. Do go and make sure that you go and follow her on Twitter, because if you like Epcot, I mean, there are several tweets a day of pure Epcot joy coming from that account. And definitely go and give her a follow. As to where you can find us, we are on our website, themeparktrader.com. We are on all of the socials. Our username is themeparktrader. And if you've got a sec, please go and search for us in the podcast app or on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. So thanks very much for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are. And just in time, there's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return.